You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
It's Tuesday, October 25th, and you're tuned into the Cleveland Baseball Talk Podcast. I'm Joe Noga, joined by Paul Hoynes. Hoynesy, we're a few days away from the start of the World Series between the Astros and Phillies. Plenty to talk about on that front. Wanted to talk first today about what's probably going to be the major talking point of the offseason until something happens on that front. If you weren't a huge fan of getting Aaron Judge home run cut-ins on every program, on every network during his chase for Roger Maris' American League record, I'm sure you won't be a huge fan of Aaron Judge free agency updates every 2 seconds, every day, being the lead story on every network. And until Aaron Judge signs and finds out where he's going to play baseball next year, it is the major storyline of the offseason. Or, unless he doesn't go back to New York, and then as soon as the New York guys realize he's not going to go there, it's probably, not that big of a deal.
Yeah, his poor off postseason did not dissuade anyone from jumping on the bandwagon here. There was a story today that said the Dodgers, of all people, are interested in Judge. And Joe, I mean, the rich just get richer, man.
Yeah, that's the thing, is they would need to, possibly move some things around. Mookie Betts would be a guy that plays that position who might have to have some flexibility. Maybe you move Mookie Betts to second base, but they do have options with a lot of guys coming off the books this year. The Dodgers do. So yeah, it's a possibility that they would be in the sweepstakes. A personality like Judge going to LA. You've got him playing in the biggest city in the biggest market in baseball right now. Moving him to LA would just make him a movie star.
Yeah, he'd be a Manny Wood too, I think. That's a great place for him. He's a California guy. If the Dodgers want him and he wants to go, I mean, that's kind of the perfect setting for him. A 6'8", 282-pound home run hitter in a great ballpark and playing in front of 50,000 people a night, it seems made to order almost.
Yeah, but he's not playing in a tiny little stadium with a short right porch where all you got to do is hit a pop out to right and it adds to your home run total. So there are some disadvantages to it, but they're going to force it down our throats until he decides, until he leaves. What do you think the chances are that he leaves New York? I got to think that they're not all that great.
Yeah, I can't see him leaving New York. I think, especially if the Yankees haven't made the World, they didn't make the World Series. It's not enough for the Yankees to just make the postseason. They've got to win it all. That's their goal every year. And when they don't, it's a disappointment. And if you pile that on with the loss of Judge, I mean, there's going to be some people flying out of that front office or the manager's going to get fired one way or the other. They've got to get Judge back. I can't see, you know, Brian Cashman letting him get away. I just can't see it happening.
It'll continue to be a big talking point in the off season. So we'll continue to follow it, just because a lot of stuff in free agency is going to fall and is going to follow and play off of that. You know, where certain guys end up and how, you know, teams pursue other guys is going to be based on where Judge ends up. As far as the World Series goes, that's set to start on Friday, and there are a lot of talking points in terms of storylines, you know, what to follow, especially for the Astros, this dominant Astros team that hasn't lost in the playoffs yet. Starting with a guy like a Justin Verlander, who could really, you know, sort of cement his role or his place in, as one of the pitchers, of one of the all-time great pitchers, especially with the way that he performs in the postseason. I mean, this is a three-time Cy Young winner, probably going to win his fourth this year. He's got an MVP, a Rookie of the Year, and he's the all-time postseason strikeout leader. What more is there for Justin Verlander to do?
Yeah, I think just win the World Series. You know, just help them win a World Series. You know, that's you can never win too many of those as a player. And, you know, he's coming off a great start against the Yankees. Big season. What, he's 36, 37 years old. I mean, came back from Tommy John at an age when most guys have it, they retire. And so he came back, and I think, you know, he is, you know, I don't think he's changed too much at all, Joe, since the days he was with the Tigers. I mean, he might be throwing harder, even harder now than he did before.
Yeah, it's something about pitchers when they get to Houston, if they were good before they got to Houston, they become great, even better as they progress through the years pitching there. Verlander has been in the World Series five times. He's already won it twice. A third World Series ring would, make him I've got to believe, a first ballot Hall of Famer. Speaking of first ballot Hall of Famers, Dusty Baker, looking for, you know, his World Series sort of to cement his place in World Series lore, I guess, with this appearance for the Astros. Thinking about the way that Dusty sort of came into his current role with the Astros on the heels of that cheating scandal, and to do what he has done with this club, you just got to think a win here would be the sort of the perfect ending point for Dusty Baker, I would think.
Yeah, that's the only thing I think he hasn't accomplished. He was a great player. He's won just about everything else as a manager except the World Series. I covered the 2002 World Series when he was managed the Giants against the Angels. That was a seven gamer, and you know they got beat on that in that, and he's been trying to get back ever since. And I think that's the crowning jewel for him. I think that would, like you said, Joe, that would complete his resume as a Hall of Fame manager / player. And he's done, he's got to be commended for, taking over that Houston club in a time of turmoil and just kind of righted the ship. You know, he took, you know, he was out front, you know, he had no part in that, you know, he right. took the job and kind of steered that course and, got them out of that. And I mean, they're never going to shake that, the franchise, but, you know, he at least put some distance between the scandal and what they've accomplished this year.
Yeah, impeccable character, irreproachable character for Dusty Baker. He's one of Tito's all-time favorite guys. So, he's got to be a good one if Tito thinks that much of him. That 2002 World Series, the only thing I remember from that one is Dusty's son Darren almost getting trucked at home plate. So
JT Snow, right? Or did JT Snow run, pulled him out of the way, right? I think.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, somebody pulled him out of
the
way.
Yeah, JT Snow.
He almost got run over at the plate, which would have been terrifying. For the Phillies, this is sort of the can a team buy its way to a World Series appearance? You go back a couple of years. They paid the price. They brought in Bryce Harper from the Nationals, one of the prized free agents of the 2019 class, I believe. And they got Zach Wheeler, JT Realmuto, Kyle Schwarber. This is a team that went out and spent money to build a winner, and they didn't necessarily win during the regular season consistently, but now they're in position to win a World Series after basically breaking the bank to get there.
Yeah, and they're a team that fired Joe Girardi, pretty early in the season, and they just kind of turned the whole season around, and it's kind of a power laden offense. Reese Hoskins, like you said, Schwarber, Harper, and they've got some decent pitching, and they're just had a really exciting series against San Diego. They're the wild card team, and a wild card team that made it all the way to the World Series, Joe. That's you've got to like that about them.
Yeah, it's sort of a you don't have to necessarily win your division. You just gotta make the postseason and get that chance. And that's sort of what they've been riding on. They've been riding momentum, sort of like what the Guardians did at the end of the season. They had the division locked up early enough, but they just played so well down the stretch that carried over into the first few games of the postseason and really sustained them. Well, that's really what Philly's been doing. They got hot at the right time, and they figured out that they can just bully teams with their lineup and the number of home runs that they can hit. It really is a contrast in styles between maybe the Guardians and the Phillies, but both were effective in getting them to the postseason this year.
Yeah, they hit in the NLCS 237 as a team, but they hit 10 home runs and scored 25 runs in five games, Joe. So that's that's a pretty dangerous offense. They go 4-1 against San Diego, and our buddy Ruben Niebla doesn't make it. Came awfully close to get into the World Series, but he didn't. He ended up a little bit short. So hopefully Ruben has a good winter this year. He was the San Diego's pitching coach, of course.
Yeah, Ruben did a great job in San Diego with some of the best starting pitching in the game with Blake Snell and Yu Darvish. But it was ironically enough the guy that they picked up from Cleveland that sort of let him down a couple of times in those big games. And Mike Clevenger, when he was forced into a starting role, he didn't necessarily come through for them consistently. San Diego will be back, I'm sure, but Philly, Philly pretty much pounded them and beat them up in the National League World Series, National League Championship Series.
Yeah, definitely. They are they're a team on a roll, and they're a team that can hurt you, and they just kind of, they've got those three, those three guys, Hoskins, Schwarber, and Harper. And I mean, it seems like they were all made for the moment, Schwarber only hit two something during the season, but hit 30, 35 home runs. And he's really kind of found his stroke in the postseason, and that's really helped them.
Yeah. It's it might not be, how you hit it, but when you hit, and that's what Kyle Schwarber is showing right now. All right, wanted to shift focus and talk a little bit about the Guardians outfield. We talked about the catchers yesterday. We talk about the Guardians outfield today. Just the prospects that they have going forward and what next year's group could look like. I think if you're talking about Cleveland's outfield, the starting place is in center field, where Miles Straw was locked up, very early the first week of the season to an extension. He was hitting well at the time and then sort of fell off for the next couple of months offensively. But during that time, the defense never rested. The defense never quit. He was by far the best defensive center fielder in all of baseball. It's quantifiable in a lot of ways. He's going to win a Gold Glove in center. He's, the anchor sort of out there defensively. Is that going to be enough to carry him through the season next year?
Well, he's going to have to hit better, Joe. Terry Francona, kind of said he thought, that he would get his act together offensively as we reviewed the 2022 season. But, Joe, he had 221, no home runs, 32 RBIs, 291 on base, 273 slug, 564 OPS. Okay. I mean, it's, okay, you can carry a defensive oriented center fielder, but we saw this guy hit 281, in 2021 when he came over, at the midway point, he hit 281 the rest of the season. So there's more offense in there, Joe. I think this is a guy that is really going to have to, I think offensively, he's going to, I don't know if he changes his approach or what went in there, but man, when he got into a slump, I mean, he was in a slump. I mean, he had 2 or 3 months there where, it was an automatic out. So as good as his defense is, they're going to need a little contribution from him offensively.
Yeah. It will be a while into the season. If he continues the way he did last year, it'll be a while, but it'll happen at some point where Tito has to do something if he continues not to hit. But like you said, we saw him hit 280 in the previous season. We saw line drives. We saw the ball come off his bat, hard. He did hit into a lot of tough luck outs, but not enough to make it, seem like an outlier or anything like that. I mean, he was in a real bad spot at points. And needs to figure things out for sure, because it's not like they don't have guys who are fighting for spots out there behind him who can hit the ball. We saw Will Brennan come up. We know that George Valera and Nolan Jones are ready down in Columbus. At some point, they will be up. George Valera, I think, is a guy who could probably make his debut at some point during the 2023 season. And they sort of want to see those guys. So if you're not producing, there will be pressure from down below to get out there and hit the ball.
Yeah, definitely. I think, we asked Francona about the outfield. Did he feel it was set? After the performances of, Gonzalez, Straw, and, and Kwan in left field. And he said, I got the impression that Tito felt they were in a strong spot. They love Straw's defense, and they got plenty, they got plenty of production from Kwan in left field. And Gonzalez looks like a power guy, kind of emerging power guy in right field. So I think it's a pretty secure spot, as opposed to, at the start of last season, Joe. Except for a Straw, there were like two question marks, right, in left and right field.
Yeah, it really was the positions of biggest question heading into the season, the outfield and the bullpen. And the outfield answered those questions, pretty early in the season. Things got settled in there and just became consistent. And the major reason for that was the play of Stephen Kwan. Nobody saw what he did, on the radar and coming. And Kwan, as a rookie, really if you look past Jose Ramirez, the next most valuable player on that club, I think, was Stephen Kwan.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
No doubt about it. 298. He scores 89 runs, 168 hits. He gets 563 at bats as a rookie, Joe. I mean, I don't think maybe Kenny Lofton had close to that in his rookie year in 92, but that's a lot of plate appearances. 7 triples, 25 doubles, 6 home runs, which was a surprise. 52 RBIs. The guy, he slashes what? 298, 373, 400. I mean, he had a remarkable season. I think, yeah, outside of Jose Ramirez, he's the MVP of this team. And I think he's going to finish high in the Rookie of the Year voting.
Yeah, the one thing that he did, better than pretty much any rookie in baseball this year was get on base. He got on base consistently. If it wasn't with, multiple hits in a game, which he did more than any rookie this year, he was drawing walks. He controlled the strike zone. He looks like the kind of hitter at the plate that is almost slump proof, because if he sticks to his principles and he does what he's good at, and that's commanding that strike zone, he's always going to be able to get on base for you. So he's always going to provide value at the top of that lineup. The thing that I don't think anybody realized that he could do was go out there and play Gold Glove defense in left field. And he definitely did that. He's, I think if Straw was the best defensive center fielder by metrics in baseball this year, Kwan was the best defensive left fielder, according to those same metrics. He took away as many runs as anybody out there in left field. It'll be interesting to see how the Gold Glove awards shake out and who gets what where in the American League. But Kwan could finish this offseason as one of the most decorated rookies in franchise history.
Yeah, like you were saying, 373 on base. The guy walked 62 times. He walked more than he struck out, 62 walks compared to 60 strikeouts. I mean, you can't ask much more from a leadoff hitter. When he took over the leadoff spot from Straw, I mean, this team really kind of came together in that offense, started doing what they wanted him to do, was generate runs, consistent contact and good base running. He stole 19 bases out of 24 attempts, Joe. This guy, I mean, he just, like you said, this was a totally from out of left field season from Kwan. I mean, you look at him and you say, okay, well, come on, he's not that big, he's not like a physically imposing guy. And you're sitting there thinking, what exactly did Cleveland see in this guy? Why is he here? And all of a sudden, all he did was show you why he was here every day in and day out.
Yeah, Tito said during spring training, when they were sort of thinking about keeping him on the roster and sort of leaning that way, he said they went around to the player development guys and they said, look, he's been hitting this way in spring training. Is this, that spring training bump? Is this, that mirage? Or is this, what you see is what you're going to get? And everybody in the player development, department told Tito, told Chris Antonetti, yes, he is this guy. This is what you're getting. If you keep him on the roster, he will perform this way. And, give them all the credit for sticking to their guns and sticking with him. Because they found something. They found a guy that can pick up the torch in left field from Michael Brantley, You know, they haven't had that consistency since Brantley was there and performing. You know, that kind of guy who get two line drive hits a game and you know, play good defense out there in left field. That's they've solved that problem at that spot, and that's, you know, what Kwan's going to give them now.
Yeah, just in, you know, the thing that impressed me is his durability. I mean, he plays 147 games, you know, 563 at bats. I mean, he was there. He posted up every day.
Yeah, he ran through walls to do it. I mean, we saw him bite the dust on several occasions. I swear, when I saw it live, when I saw him run into the stands live in Seattle, I thought the worst. I thought, you know, there were going to be parts of him that he left behind in the great Northwest. But he gutted that out, man. The next day, he was feeling all right. Finally, in right field, you've got Oscar Gonzalez. There were a couple of different guys that sort of rotated through that spot earlier on. They tried Nolan Jones there for a little while, and you know, when he made his debut, and to varying degrees of success, you know, they had Jones there, but it wasn't until, you know, late May or June when Gonzalez came up, you know, basically took that spot and never let it go, and he played there every day. He played almost every single day that he was in the big leagues. He started in right field. That's kind of unheard of. He showed an incredibly strong arm, which I don't think anybody realized he could do. And the ability to, even when he looked beat in an at-bat, even when he looked like the big league pitchers had him fooled on pitches, he was strong enough and his hands were good enough to stay back and hit line drives with, you know, with two strikes in the count. And it translated to a really good offensive season for him. And the promise of more, you know, developing power sort of in that bat that could come around next year.
Yeah, there, you know, the best is yet to come from Oscar Gonzalez, I believe. He hit .296 last year, Joe, in only 91. He only played 91 games, 27 doubles, 11 home runs, 43 RBIs. You know, OPS is 788. You know, so he did strike out a lot, 75 strikeouts, 15 walks. But, you know, I think they were willing to live with that. Excuse me. As long as he didn't, you know, overswing and try to hit everything out of the park. And he bought into that.
Yeah, it was Tito's favorite thing to say about him is, you know, they brought him up and they sort of set him free and set him loose and said, look, you know, if we try to make Oscar Gonzalez a guy that, you know, walks 30 to 40 times in a season or, you know, something like that, then he's not going to hit. He's not going to be who he is. He's going to have to change things. So if you let him learn how to hit big league pitching and give him that freedom to go out there and, you know, don't swing at everything, but, you know, swing at good pitches. And if the strikeouts happen, the strikeouts happen. We'll take that with what good he can do. We really saw him, you know, sort of turn into a guy who, even late in games, you know, when he was behind in the count, could still help you and do things, you know, positive at the plate. We saw him in Chicago hit a double that, you know, brought the Guardians back in a game. And, you know, obviously the lasting impression of the season is going to be that two-run single that beat the Yankees in game three of the wild card series. It's hard for me to fathom that this is the same guy who, within his, you know, second or third game in the big leagues, was flipping a live ball into the stands in right field. We tend to forget that, but, you know, that happened. He actually made that sort of mistake play that we all sort of shook our head at. But by the end, he was as good as he was defensively and, you know, as clutch as he was offensively, sort of anchoring that right field spot for this club.
Yeah. And it's a postseason. I mean, there's not another rookie that's going to have a postseason like that for a long time. What, two game-winning hits, one go-ahead hit, in the ninth inning or later or whatever. I'm pretty sure that was it. And it showed that, you know, that he can handle the moment. And there was a great video of him when he got home to the Dominican Republic, walking into the airport, and there was all his fans were there and his family, and people were singing and shouting, and it was like a hero's welcome, and he earned it.
Yeah, he did. And, you know, he's the guy who got an entire ballpark full of fans to sing the SpongeBob SquarePants theme song, you know, and I think Yankees fans will never hear that song again without, you know, remembering the way he sort of snatched their hearts in that game three. But yeah, he's a big kid. He's a really nice, just fun guy to be around, and it'll be interesting. He's going to continue to develop, and just watching him grow in right field. That's a piece that could be there for a while. I think Kwan and Gonzalez both really showed that they could be foundational pieces for the next, for this group of Cleveland baseball players and for years to come.
Yeah, great point. And, you know, you really, for the first time in a long time, you feel confident that they have some players in the outfield now. It's not going to be a mix and match. They're not going to be platooning at all three positions, you know, as they had, what, even in 2016 when they went to the World Series, you know, they had six guys there. They were always platooning. It seemed like they have some solid everyday players. They produced them. You know, if Straw comes around and can just contribute a little more offensively, you know, you've got his glove out there. And that seems so important to, you know, Francona in the front office, especially, you know, with the team, with their pitching. So the future looks bright, Joe. And I'm wondering, where do you think Brennan or Will Benson fit with these guys?
Yeah, that's the tough part is I wonder, you know, with their clocks already started now with these guys, you know, they've got to be on the roster at some point. You know, maybe they do start looking to package some of these prospects for trades because, you know, there's no room for these guys to get on the field right now. Will Brennan and really Will Benson have proven everything they need to prove at AAA. I think Will Brennan answered every question about his readiness to play in the big leagues. If he's going up there and getting pinch hit singles in the postseason, this is a guy who you can't start the year off in AAA next year. I think Will Brennan needs to be on the big league roster as a fourth outfielder, a guy who can play almost every day if you need him to. Benson, a bit more of a question mark. We haven't really seen the productivity out of him in the batter's box, but we know that he can do things like go out there and rob home runs and, you know, play great defense and run the bases real well. So there might be a spot for him, but you know, he's maybe one that it becomes a numbers game for him.
Yeah. And he's a minor league free agent at the end of this year, Joe. I think that's why they brought him up. Now, I don't know. I mean, he's on the 40 man, right? So I guess that doesn't really matter anymore. Right. I don't think he can become a free agent. So yeah, we'll have to.
He's pre-arb this year now. He's on the 40 man, so he's pre-arb.
Yeah, yeah. So he's so they've got to, you know, and I don't think, you know, he didn't really get much of a look. So they still don't know too much about him, if this guy, what he's going to do at the plate, and you know, that's the big question with him.
All right, that's going to wrap up today's edition of the Cleveland Baseball Talk podcast. Covered a lot of topics here today. We'll be back again with you tomorrow, looking at another position group for the Guardians, and maybe a little bit more World Series talk as we get closer to the Fall Classic. Hoynesy, we'll talk to you then.
All right, Joe.